All right, I don't know what time it is up there, but we'll go ahead and get ready to get started. Glad you're here for the Wednesday evening service. If you can, let's all stand. We're going to sing Higher Ground.
Patricia and Nick here, and good to have our guys back in the back row. Good to have Dad and the boys. What was it, about a month and a half ago, the guys came and got saved? Been about that long, so good to see them here tonight. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Father, we ask you to bless the evening service. We ask for your power and your wisdom. We pray, Lord, you bless all of our folks who are not able to make it, especially Kiku, and I pray, Lord, that Mrs. Maceo, that you take care of them and bless them in their recovery. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right, more like the master. More like the master I would ever be. More of his meekness, more humility. More zeal to labor, more courage to be true. More consecration for work he bids me do. Take now my heart, I would be thine alone. Take now my heart. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. More like the master is my duty prayer. More strength.
Anyone here for the first time, or the first time in a long time? Good to see Betty back. Betty and Cindy made it back. Was it yesterday, Betty? made it back yesterday, so, and then Mrs. Reese headed out. Is there an update on? Given me by buying to donate and donating for the chicken plate sale. Once again, thank you all. I hope you all come and enjoy your chicken plate. That's from Miriam. That's the young lady right here. If some of you wonder who, that's why I always talked about the young lady that plays on Wednesday night. That is Miriam. And so she said thank you for that. And that plate sale is this coming Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's at what used to be Gateway Baptist Church. I don't know what's the name of the church now? Gateway Christian Church. So it's on Five Palms. Some of you remember where Brother Plumstead used to live. It's right straight on down farther than that, and you can't miss it because it's right before you'd come to a stoplight and have to go right or left. The church is on the right-hand side there. And so that is from 10 to 2. If you haven't got, you still got tickets? No more tickets. So if you're out, if you've missed out, you either have to split mine with me or talk someone into theirs. But that is this Saturday, 10 to 2. And again, she said, thank you so much. Did you just have a limited number you had to sell?
No, I didn't, but they already placed the order.
So oh, they placed the order. So if you didn't order, tough. You have to wait till next time. So, also, the stuff going on this week, you're in the right place tonight. For those of you that prayed for Nick and Patty to make it in, I thought he was going to make it in Monday, so I quit praying. Where's Nick and Patty at? I quit praying after Monday because I thought he was going to get here in one day, and then I saw the next day they made it here safe, and I thought, oops. Didn't realize it was a 2 or 3 day trip. I just don't pay attention to mileage, so I was thinking, so I prayed for you all day Monday, but I guess the others carried you on Tuesday. So was it a good trip?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. So he'll be preaching not this Sunday because he's going to be out of town this Sunday, but Nick will be preaching for us the following Sunday. I believe that's the 28th. A special day for Stella and I because special people have a birthday on that day. But Nick will be preaching in Sunday school. So we'll have the teens down here and the adults. And if any of you older, if you have older young folks like the 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, you want to bring your boys and girls down. As long as you sit with them and they behave, they're welcome to come down to Sunday school and Brother Taylor's class. That will be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. As far as Fiesta, it is used to, we split it with Freedom. Freedom is not involved this year, so it is every night. Again, I believe they open the booth at 5, and they close the booth at, I think it's 10. Does anyone here know the exact time? Is that the right time? 10? Does it say up there? Brother Sales, does it say there 10? Yeah, it just says 6 p.m., and then he has something crossed. I think it's 6 to 10. That's what the offering is tonight. Unless you designate it to something else, everything that comes in tonight will go to the booth. If you want to go sow winning, now if you don't know how to sow in, you can always go down and sit next to someone that's winning someone to the Lord. That's the best way to learn, is by listening to someone that knows how to win someone to the Lord. Listen to them win someone to the Lord. I know our ladies from Foster Club have what do you call it, the book with all the little colors. Wordless book. So again, if you can set by different soul winners. And I always tell people, they said, what's your soul winning plan? I said, my soul winning plan is the one that I have. It changes all the time, because when someone else has a better illustration or a better story than I do, I use their story or illustration, because I want the best soul winning. I want the one that makes the most sense and that people understand the most. And again, you talk to kids a little bit different than you talk to adults, because you have to put it down where kids can understand it. But again, salvation is simple. Don't complicate salvation. Sometimes we want to make it hard for people. It's like we want to make them, you know, crawl across the, you know, 100 yards on broken glass to get to Jesus. It's not that hard. So again, we want to keep salvation simple down at the booth. Pray for, when I put on the prayer list, to pray for souls and safety. In the carnival itself, there's policemen every 10 feet. So it's a lot safer there. You just have to be careful getting to the booth and getting back, because again, San Antonio downtown is not the safest place to be. And during the fiesta, there's a lot of drinking and nonsense that goes on in other areas. So sometimes they park in those areas. But in the area where we have the booth, it is the carnival area, kids and families. So it's much safer in there. And like I said, there's no problem with the police presence. There's policemen everywhere, so all you'd have to do is holler, and four of them would hear you, because they go in groups of two. So, you're fairly safe down there. Just have to be careful going to and from. Parking last year was $10 per vehicle. So if you can get two or three of you in the same vehicle, it's better than having to pay 10 bucks a piece. So, there's a big parking area that's usually open. Sometimes on the big nights, it gets full, and then you have to try to figure out where to park, and it's not easy to find other places. Be careful about parking on the street or parking in neighborhoods, because some of those places, they don't appreciate Fiesta, just like you probably wouldn't appreciate it by parking on your street during certain times of the year. Some of those folks do not like folks parking in the street or their driveways or other places. So don't assume because someone else is doing it, it's okay, because it may not be. But that one area, that right place right next to the carnival, is a big parking place. I never had any trouble at all, even on the busy nights last year. But it was $10 per vehicle last year. And I don't think they have security guards, but it is a gated place, so it's a little safer than anywhere else. But again, pray for the folks that go down, that we'll have souls and safety.
All right, again, let's stand. We're going to sing My Anchor Holds. The angry surges roll, on my tempest driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I have an anchor safe and sure, that can evermore endure, and it holds my anchor. Almost whelm the soul. Grief like billows o'er me. so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds.
Remember, everything goes in tonight unless it's labeled otherwise, goes into the booth offering.
Heavenly Father, we thank You again that we can come to Your house, Lord, and hear Your word preached, Lord. I pray for a power that You give Brother Block, Lord, and give him unction. And, Lord, I pray people will listen and be attentive and not mess around and think about other things out there in this world. Just think about the word of God that's been preached tonight, Lord. And this offering we're taking tonight, Lord, is for help us pay for the booth at Downtown Fiesta. And, Lord, hope everybody be a part of it, Lord. Bless this offering, and thank You for sending the Suttmeyers our way also, Lord. And, Lord, we love You because You first loved us. Thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Forgot to mention, we're glad to have the Taylors back too. They were out of town, and he said everything's going good with Tim. As far as Fiesta, I'll find out and hopefully announce it by the end of the evening. Stephen, do we know anything? Okay, so we will have a car that can take some folks on Friday. If you have room in your car and you're going down, if you'll let us know what time, if you can swing by the church, I can announce it, let folks know, because I know we have some folks that don't really want to drive downtown. We have others that can't drive after dark. So if you can get them down there, they can probably get from here to home. But again, if you can help with the transportation, if you're going down there and you have extra room, let us know, and we'll let folks know what time cars will be here on those nights.
Timothy would want me to say hello for him and Roshonda. They're doing very well. All right, follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me I would follow, follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the dark waters flow. My pride be if my Lord is near. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I would follow. follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I would follow on. Follow, follow, I would follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I would follow on.
Another verse of an invitation song. The message, it was loud and long. A million thoughts race through his head, but he just can't shake what the preacher said. He remembers the time before when he got up and ran out the door. He wonders now what he should do. His sweaty hands grip the back of the pew. His heart is pounding deep inside as he wishes he could run and hide. But he hears a voice say, "Come and pray, and this time nothing will stand in his way. Nothing makes heaven's angels rejoice like a sinner who's just made Jesus' choice. Nothing compares to the way that it feels to know a risen Savior and the love he reveals. To know a risen Savior and the love he reveals." On his knees with tears streaming down his face, he's just been saved by amazing grace. He stands and he says as he looks around, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." He sees everything from a different view, and deep inside he feels brand new. As brothers and sisters shake his hand, angels celebrate in glory land. His brand new life had just begun, and he'd grow stronger in days to come. But he never dreamed there would come a day when he'd preach God's word to a crowd and say, "Nothing makes heaven's angels rejoice like a sinner who's just made Jesus his choice. Nothing compares to the way that it feels to know a risen Savior and the love he reveals. To know a risen Savior and the love he reveals."
I can't get that high, or that low. I don't think I ever could. And as the years went by, now I have to sing in the middle. I can't get high. I can't get low. I stay in the middle. Jaden, did you have some more of the verses left? You gave them all out. Levi, did you have any left? Anyone needs less? Some verses, hold up your hand, Levi will run to you and get you one. Acts chapter 11 in your Bibles, Acts chapter 11. We'll look at verse 23, will be where we get the title of the sermon from. Acts chapter 11, notice verse 23. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Tonight's thought is to encourage others to cleave unto the Lord. Now, if you know the definition of cleave, you realize it has two exact opposite definitions. The one definition is to split apart. That's what cleave means. If you had a sword or a knife or something, you're going to cleave someone or something, you actually split them apart. The other definition is to stick together. So it's kind of weird that it would have exact opposites as a definition, but that is the case in the word of cleave. Now, we're not talking about to split apart tonight. We're talking about to stick together. Then I'll give you several just thoughts, and then I'll give you the 5 points after that. But again, notice in your notes, Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, says in Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, and that's who we'll talk about, who's the kind of the theme for the night, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and in the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, Barnabas was a man who actually literally sold out everything for the Lord. Now, again, you remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira because they lied to the Holy Spirit and it cost them their lives. In this case, Barnabas, now, we don't know too much about him and his family and all that. We do know his association with Paul. We know his association with John Mark. And again, the fact that, and we'll look at this in a moment, where the Bible often praises somebody, it calls him a good man, and we're going to get, it has some other adjectives as well, but we're looking at Barnabas, someone who actually literally sold out everything for the Lord. To cleave to the Lord, you're going to have to do that. This, and again, notice in your notes, Acts chapter 9, verse 29 through 26 through 29, it was probably because of Barnabas that we have Paul in the ministry. And again, when you think about that, Barnabas was not well known. Barnabas was not a great preacher. Barnabas was not one of those guys who would have been at the Sword conferences, the revival conferences, or things like that. Barnabas was just a faithful, loyal, steady man of God. Don't know. I mean, he did probably preach some. And by the way, many men have preached who are not called to preach. Again, what I mean by that is those times that whether it's in a soul winning situation or in a church. I told folks before, my dad was never called to preach, but our little church did not have an associate pastor. A lot of churches don't. And so men in the church and the pastor's either sick or out of town, usually one of the deacons preaches or one of the men in the church preaches. And again, they didn't go to Bible college. They were not trained. But in this case, notice verse 26. And Saul was come to Jerusalem. He essayed to join himself. So he wanted to join himself to the disciples, but notice what happened. But they were all afraid of him. Now, there was a reason for that. A few days before, Paul was a different fella. Right. But again, as his song said, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul became a changed man. And by the way, that is why what salvation is supposed to do to all of us. But it mentions that they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now, if we stop there, I don't know if Paul would have became Paul if it wasn't for the fact that what happens next. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Now, he's given Paul's testimony. Now, Paul was usually pretty good about giving his own testimony. In this case, Barnabas has given Paul's testimony to the folks in the church. And he declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So the folks who were afraid of him was the church. And again, the reason the church was afraid of him was because not too long before that, Paul had been persecuting the church. But at this time now, Paul is changed man, and the church that Paul used to persecute. And again, he persecuted it because he thought he was doing the right thing. Again, don't think for a second that, I mean, Paul in his religious, the religion that he had and again, that's why we often say, you hear say from the pulpit, religion saves nobody because religion doesn't. Paul thought he was doing the right thing. He thought Christians were a bunch of, heathen, a bunch of wrong. I mean, they were trying to pull people away from the real truth. And so Paul attacked them. And by the way, whatever he did it with everything he had. Paul didn't ever do anything halfway. He didn't do anything in half measures. I remember Brother Vineyard often told us at Bible college that the reason he tried to live for the Lord like he did, and again, he was pretty gung-ho about living for the Lord, he said when he lived for the devil, he gave the devil everything he had. So he decided when he got saved, he ought to give the Lord everything he had. And by the way, that is true of most people as far as giving the devil everything they had. It is not always true that when people get saved, they give the Lord everything they had. But Barnabas did. And by the way, and Paul was wanting to as well. Now, again, he went to Tarshish. He found Paul. He took him to the church and got him to the church. And notice there in your verses 11, chapter 11, verses 23 to 26, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, again, if you know the Bible very well, you know that there was a fellow that he was talking like he was, and he called, I think he called Jesus good master, and what did Jesus tell him? There is no man that's good. But in this case, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that Barnabas, and again, this is the Word of God, it says he was a good man, it didn't end there, full of the Holy Ghost, didn't end there, and of faith, and much people were added into the church. Now, because of Barnabas, again, he was a soul-winning, faithful, loyal man of God, and because of him, the church grew. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So again, when you think of when people started becoming or be called Christians, it was because of Paul and because of Barnabas. And they were called Christians there in Antioch first. Now, we've been called Christians, and again, they call our, what we stand for, Christianity. And many times, I don't know how many times I've been someplace, and they'll say, is your church a Christian church? Now, what they mean by that is it not Catholic? Is it not Mormon? Is it not Jehovah's Witness? They throw a lot of churches in that Christian group. And some of you know that because when you go to the hospital, now I think the last few times I went to the doctor, something actually had Baptist in the list. But used to it would have you know a bunch of lists there, and Baptist was not one of them because they all thought that we are just part of. I mean, we're just an offspring from the Roman Catholics. And by the way, we are not, and never have been. There are a lot of folks that think that we are just someone that I mean, you know, we learn from. And if you've heard Brother Nicholas talk, especially about Revelation, you'll realize the Bible doesn't have a very high opinion of the Catholic Church or the Catholic religion or any of those popes or any of the rest of the folks that's in charge. We don't try to attack people at Liberty Baptist Church, but we do attack false religion. There have been people that came here that were Catholics and they thought we were against them. We were not against them. We loved them. We cared about them. The truth is, when we was fussing about their church that day, we was trying to get them to realize you are following a religion, and they are following a religion, that when you die, he'll say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And to me, that's I think one of the hottest places in hell will be for the Catholic priest and the Catholic leaders that know the truth, know that what they're teaching is a bunch of bull, and are teaching it anyway because of the fact of their position and the prosperity they get from it. But again, we are Baptists. We've never been Catholic. By the way, should be proud to be a Baptist. I'm thankful. Now, many of you were Catholic before. How many of you were Catholic before you got saved? I was always a Baptist. I got saved in a Baptist church. I've been a Baptist all my life. I've never been anything else. So the truth is, many of you were in religion. You were religious. Now, my mom and dad, I always tell people, my mom and dad, and that was what I was telling the young man the other night in the hospital, being religious isn't going to get you to heaven. Again, because when we asked him if he was saved, he said, I get saved every day. And by the way, a person never doesn't get saved every day. The Bible mentions if he's going to get saved every day, Christ would have to die on the cross every day. He died one time. Salvation comes one time in your life. When you get it, you couldn't get rid of it if you want it because it's eternal. And again, it's not you holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. So that's why once I finally got my salvation settled as a young man, I have never doubted my salvation since. Now, really what I was doubting before that was I was doubting because, again, people would say sometimes like, did you really mean it? So I would pray each night. I was kind of like David. I'd pray each night, Lord, if I didn't mean it the other time, I mean it this time. And then the next night when I was doubting it, I'd say, Lord, if I didn't mean it that time, if I didn't mean it last night, if I, for some reason I wasn't as sincere like I should be, I'm sincere tonight. And I did that for quite some time. I don't know if any of you have ever doubted your salvation. I know some of you have. But the truth is, that's one of the reasons from Liberty Baptist Church pulpit, we don't preach doubt. Amen. Now, we do preach salvation. And by the way, if you're holding on to anything other than Jesus, you're holding on to any person other than Jesus, you better doubt your salvation because you don't have salvation. Because salvation is only through him and because of him. But again, in this case, Barnabas and Paul are accomplishing some great things. Now think about it. Barnabas didn't write any books. Paul wrote 13 or 14. Barnabas didn't write any books, but John Mark wrote one. Of the four Gospels, he wrote one of the Gospels. So again, in this case, you may never become a named person. And those who always are seeking to have their name in the headlights, there's some that's a big deal. And at one time, I remember when I was in California, I went to Bible college to be in the ministry. When I got to California, I got hired as a Christian school teacher. The pastor, so that was my position there. I always wanted to be known as the associate pastor or the assistant pastor because I didn't want to be just a teacher. I didn't go to school to be a teacher. My pastor would always tell me, Brother Foster would always tell me, you are my assistant or you are my associate, but we just don't have that title in the church. When he was out, I preached. But the truth is, at that time, I wanted a title. When I came here, someone got me a little nameplate and put it on my desk. It said, Brother Block, I think it says school principal, or maybe it says associate pastor. I don't remember which. But you know what? That really didn't change anything. It did not come with a pay raise. It didn't make me feel any better. It didn't make me feel any more spiritual. The truth is, that title meant nothing. So if you're wondering whether a title is good, if you have a title, thank God for it. Make sure you live up to that title. But whether you have a title or not at Liberty Baptist Church, every church member at Liberty Baptist Church is supposed to be like Barnabas. We're supposed to get out and get people saved. We're supposed to get them baptized. We're supposed to teach them how to grow in the church. That is every Christian's responsibility. That's not just Brother Nichols' responsibility or my responsibility or other men that teach from behind the pulpit. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's responsibility or the bus worker's responsibility. It is every church member's responsibility to get the gospel to the lost. Barnabas also obeyed all of the Great Commission, especially the last part. Now, notice in your notes, it mentions Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he says there unto them, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is something all of us are supposed to do. That's the reason I support missions. I support missions because I can't preach the gospel in Africa. I'm not over there. I can't preach the gospel in Madagascar. I don't live there. Truth is, I can't preach the gospel in all of the United States because I don't live there. I always tell people, this is my Jerusalem. Now, I care about souls everywhere. But the truth is, this is the place that God has put me in. By the way, since you're here tonight, and to my knowledge, all of you live here except maybe Nick and Patty, but the rest of you all live here. So this is your Jerusalem. This is the place that you're supposed to take the biggest responsibility. Your neighborhood, the folks that you see at the grocery store, the folks you see at the laundromat, the folks you see at the bank, those folks, those souls are you and I's responsibility. And again, I said I give to missions so that I can do that. Not the Jerusalem part, but the Judea and the Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's the reason I've supported missions since I was a young kid. I started my first Faith Promise mission. Some of you know what that's about because some of you were in churches that had Faith Promise. I started my first Faith Promise with a dime. That was my first Faith Promise. And as a kid, I wasn't always guaranteed. I mean, it wasn't like I had a dime all the time. So what they always taught us through that missions conference was, you pray and ask God to give it to you. When God gives it to you, put it in the offering. And so, again, I started with a dime, and through the years, given a little bit more than that. And by the way, if you're still at the dime stage, you ought to move on up to the little bit higher stage. And the more money we have in the mission fund, the more missionaries we can support, the more the uttermost parts of the earth that we can reach. And again, Barnabas obeyed the Great Commission. And I said, especially the last part, notice Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So in Mark, he tells us to get them saved. He tells us then to get them baptized. And then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. We're not supposed to just get them saved. Think of that convert as a baby, as your baby. Now, if you lead someone to the Lord, they're a babe in Christ. You know what they need? They need someone to care for them. Yeah. They have to be burped. They have to have their diaper changed. They have to be fed. They can't take care of themselves. You and I have the responsibility to take them under our wing, our converts under our wing, and try to teach them the things that they need to learn. It is always a blessing to have someone saved. It is a bigger blessing to have one of your converts get in the water. It is even a greater blessing to have one of your converts to get someone saved, and I mean someone that you that Lord used you to get them saved, and you get them in the water, and then see them at the church and see them grow up in the church. There are some people here today. The Millikens can tell you who it was that came and led them. Who was it that came to your house and led you to the Lord, Brother Milliken and Miss Milliken? Mrs. Blocker for you, Brother Milliken? Mark Crisp. And again, I know that the bus ministry had a hand in that. They were the ones that actually the reason those folks went by their house. Their kids were riding the bus before that. They were just bus kids. I don't know, was you riding the bus at that time? Or just the little ones? I think it was just Tommy and Pam, but they was riding the bus. And because of that, someone went by that and talked to the parents of the bus kids. Now, we look at the Millikens now. We don't think of them as bus kids. They've been loyal here for all these years. So if you're wondering if a bus kid or the bus kid's parents can actually do anything in the church, they have. And so you don't have any idea the power you have, the responsibility and privilege you have when you lead someone to the Lord. So again, Barnabas was that example to us. The next thing, and again, I haven't got to the points yet. You say, Brother Block, you didn't pray. I'm going to pray right before I get to the points. I want to give you the introduction first. The one you encourage could be Paul. The one you encourage could be D.L. Moody. Now, most of us, because Brother Nichols or Brother Taylor, I have told you who led him to the Lord. Who led D.L. Moody to the Lord? Ed Kimball, his Sunday school teacher. Who was it that preached a message and said, if someone actually could totally surrender? I think the way he put it was, the world has yet to see what God will do with the man that is fully consecrated to him. That wasn't Ed Kimball. That was a fellow by the name of Mr. Varley, Henry Varley. Now, Henry Varley was quite a soul winner. And Henry Varley was a preacher. I mean, and apparently had thousands saved. But most of us don't know who Henry Varley was. But we do know who Paul was. We know who D.L. Moody was. So again, you never know the person that you... I appreciate we have folks here that if someone comes and comes to, on Sunday morning, we have folks that will take them out to eat Sunday afternoon. We have folks that will sit with them at the pew and make them feel welcome. That is what that last part of the Great Commission is all about. They got saved. They got baptized. But by the way, that's the easiest. I mean, well, not easy, but that is the beginning. The rest of it, the rest of their life, whether they live for the Lord or not, many times comes right after that baptism, whether they stay in church or not, whether they get taught or not. Some of you remember we used to have 6 o'clock hour around here as old folks. We remember 6 o'clock hour. And I remember one of the things that they had back then was a new converts class. And in that new converts class, they would teach them about soul winning. They teach them about tithing. They teach them about church attendance. They teach them about reading the Bible. They teach them about praying. And they teach them, I mean, other stuff as well. But they would teach them, the new convert, what they needed to do. Because, by the way, babies don't know what to do. Right. It's not like a baby. Now, there are some things that's instinctive. But there's other things that the baby has to be taught. And the same is true of a child of God, someone who gets saved. I remember when Mrs. Block first came to our church. When she got saved back in Missouri, she came in a skirt because the girls had told her she ought to wear a dress. The problem was the only dress she had was a mini skirt. I always teased her. I said, she said, why was you so standoffish? I said, because you was in a mini skirt sitting up on a, she was sitting up on a counter on a ledge in there. So I said, your mini skirt was a lot shorter when you sat up on that counter. And by the way, ladies, keep that in mind. When you have a skirt, make sure the skirt's long enough that when you sit down, it's still long enough to cover what it's supposed to cover. But she said, she asked the girls, why do you all wear these dresses down to your knees? And the folks told her, and they gave her scriptures. And by the way, then she got rid of her pants and her shorts and all that, and she never wore another pair the rest of her life. But she didn't know that when she first got saved. Most people don't know why we use the King James Bible. They just go to the store and buy a Bible. And if you just go to the store and buy a Bible, most time it's not going to be the old King James that they sell. Even most Bible bookstores, it's hard to find an old King James Bible. But the truth is, they don't know the difference in all the Bibles. Now, by the way, you might not either. You don't have to. Just tell them the Bible to get, the one that Brother Nicholas tells us to use is the old King James. Amen. You don't even have to know all the ifs, ands, and buts. You don't have to know all the history about it. And you don't have to know about all the transcripts and all the rest of it. You don't have to know all that. Just tell them the King James. All those other ones, they change a bunch of words and take stuff out that's really, really important. Yeah. Yeah. So you need the old King James. But again, Barnabas was one who encouraged people. He encouraged Paul. Ed Kimball, Henry Varley encouraged D.L. Moody. My question to you tonight is, who are you encouraging to grow in the faith? Who have you taken under your wing? Now, it could be one person. It could be more than one. The truth is, a Sunday school teacher has more than one person that they're teaching. A bus worker has more than one person that they're influencing. A pastor has many people that he's influencing. The truth is, all of us can influence somebody. And that's what Barnabas did. Barnabas was a guy that behind the scenes accomplished a lot for the Lord, and the folks that he led to the Lord even accomplished more than that. It is always possible for the player to become better than the coach. It is. Brother Sanders, and Mrs. Sanders not here tonight, but their son Blaine used to play on our basketball team. Now, Blaine had came from a church up in I think it was Anchorage, Alaska, and that coach up there was a real basketball coach. Now, I played basketball all my life from fifth grade all the way on up through high school. I had never been a coach. I didn't take coaching at Bible college. So my coaching was learned from other coaches, and my coaching was learned from reading books, and my coaching was learned from experiences, some of them bad experiences. But I learned enough to where I was a fair coach after. But when Blaine came to my group, Blaine knew more about basketball than I did. Now, he always had such a humble spirit, though. And he never, I mean, the truth is, Blaine's one of those guys that could step up to the free throw line. I always liked when Blaine got fouled because you could just count those points. I mean, he was shooting, he shot between 80, 90% free throws almost all the time through high school. I mean, he was a great shot. So I always liked it when they fouled him. But the truth is, Blaine was a humble fella. He had had better coaches. He had had coaches that knew more than I did. But the truth is, he still listened to me. And because of that, now, again, so Blaine was a better ball player than I ever was. Now, I could play ball. I played on a team, but I was never as good as Blaine was. So you might even coach somebody that will become a better Christian or a bigger name Christian than you. Don't worry about that. Realize your responsibility, my responsibility, is to train the folks that got saved and got baptized, to train them from the Word of God. Yeah. It will also challenge you, because sometimes they'll ask you a question that you don't know the answer to. I'm not going to ask you if you've ever had. Now, I try to only steer people. When I'm trying to win someone to the Lord, I try not to answer questions. Because if you answer questions, you'll be way over here talking about the Easter Bunny instead of about getting saved. Or you'll be talking about Christmas trees instead of about getting saved. Anytime someone tries to get me distracted while I'm soul winning, I always say, ask me that in a few minutes and I'll answer that. And I'm hoping they'll forget, because I really don't want to have to answer all their nonsense. But right now, let's get back to here. I always try to steer them right back to the Romans Road where I'm at, trying to get them to hear the gospel and get saved. I don't want to talk about all this. And you know what? Very seldom. Now, again, hundreds of people say, very seldom I've ever had any of them at the end go, oh, by the way, what do you think about the Easter Bunny? I don't think I've ever had anyone go back to that. If I had, it's been very rare. Now, there's some folks that have a certain, I mean, they have something in their mind, like, you know, who married, I mean, as far as Adam and Eve's kids, where did the girls come from? So there's folks that, for some reason, that's a big deal in their head. And then they want to know if they married angels and so on and so forth. So there are some of them that have a certain thing stuck in their head that they just can't get it out. So they'll ask a question. And by the way, if you don't know the answer, you know what you need to tell them? Come to church. Our preacher preaches the Bible all the time. Guarantee he'll get to that sooner or later if you just come to church faithful. Save yourself. But it will make you get into the Word of God and study yourself so you can give the answer to them. Because no one likes to look dumb. No one likes to look, I mean, like we don't know the answer. And by the way, don't give them the answer unless you really know the Bible answer. Because they're new converts, they will believe everything you say. Years ago, my kids came home. Not, again, most of you know, growing up, my dad was what? A hog farmer. So I know a lot about pigs. My dad, we had 70 sows, and so each sow usually has 2 litters a year. So we had several, almost always on the farm, we had 200 or 300 pigs. And we had some cows and chickens as well, but for many years, one day when my kids came home from Sunday school, and they said something about pigs that was not true. I said, who told you that? They said, the Sunday school teacher. Now, I'm in a tough place. I can't say your Sunday school teacher is an idiot, because you just don't want to say the Sunday school teacher is an idiot. Even though in that area they didn't know what they were talking about. What they were voicing was what someone else had voiced to them, and they believed it because someone else had told them. And then, by the way, that's why a lot of stuff called wives' tales. How many of you thought you was going to get a wart because a frog peed on you? You believe that because someone told you that. So when the frog peed on you, you say, why is the frog pee on you? Because he wants you to let him down. Snake will poop on you. Brother Michelle can tell you that because he got pooped on by a snake the other day. But again, a frog will pee on you, but again, I can tell you, if warts come from frogs being peed on, I'd look like that old witch. I'd have had warts all over my hands because I got peed on a lot when I was a kid from frogs. And you know what? I don't have any warts on my hands from that. So that was called a wives' tale. That's something that people say, but it wasn't true. Now, probably some mom meant well the first time because she didn't want that frog in the house. So she probably said, oh, get that. Don't play with that frog. It pees on you. You're going to get warts. And the kid went, oh, I don't want. So, I mean, and then they told their kids who told their kids, and 100 years later was still telling people that. And if you're still telling people that, stop it. It's not true, okay? I can tell you from experience, frogs can pee on you and you don't get warts, all right? But again, in this case, you and I need to make sure we know the Word of God. Don't tell someone. There's no problem with saying, you know what, I don't know. Give me a little while to study on that. Now, what I lots of times do, if I don't know the answer, I'll ask Brother Nichols, or I'll look. I mean, now, you have to be careful what you see on the internet. You have to be careful what you see on TV. Because all the stuff you saw about Moses on the TV, and all the stuff you saw about Noah on the TV, well, that's not anywhere in the Bible. Now, some of that stuff could have happened, but that's called, they wanted to have a good show. So because they want to have a good show and keep you interested, they put all kinds of stuff in there. I didn't watch it for any reason. I was bored that night, but they had a thing about Noah. You know the weird thing was? The Bible says that Noah went in and his sons and their what? Wives. But if you watch that Noah show, you know what? Only one of the boys has a wife, the one on TV. I don't know why they did that, but that's what they did. And the one girl apparently got pregnant on Noah's, and he was going to kill it because I don't remember what. I quit watching because I thought, this is the stupidest thing. But the fact is, you have to be careful what you hear, what you see on TV, or what you read sometimes, because it's not always true. Find out the truth to pass that on to your converts. Now I'm going to pray, and I'll give you the 5 points real quick, and then we'll go home. Lord, I ask you to help tonight as we look at these last five things as far as things that we can do to cleave to the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing is this. Be an example of one who cleaves to the Lord. Now, the easiest way to show someone else how to do something is by example. I tell you all the time, a picture is worth 1,000 words. You show me how to do something, I can do it. You tell me how to do it. I've told you many, many times. Brother Taylor came one time and taught on the lungs. Now he knew what he was talking about. He was showing us all this stuff. And as I told you, what did I hear? Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. I had no idea what he was talking about. At the end, I was just as dumb as I was when I started about the lungs. Now, Brother Taylor was just as smart as he was when he started, but not me. I have no idea what most of the stuff he said. By the way, nor did I really care. But the bottom line was, I didn't get it. Again, best way to show someone how to cleave to the Lord is you cleave to the Lord. You be faithful. You be loyal. You stay in the church. You be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You do the things you're supposed to do. Again, in Acts chapter 11, verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added into the church. So again, Barnabas set the example. Jesus set the example. My life verse, 1 Peter 2:21, the very last part says that you should follow his steps. Now, it says he set an example. You know why he set that example? That you and I would imitate him, which is why Christian means what? Christ-like. We're supposed to imitate Christ. Now, none of us can because none of us are Jesus. And he was perfect. But by the way, we're supposed to try. And the longer we've been saved, the older we are in the Lord, we should be looking more like Jesus every day and less like our old self. The second thing, not only should we be an example of one who cleaves to the Lord, we should look for the one to encourage as well as the many. Acts 11:25, notice what it says. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. Now, he wasn't going to the church. He wasn't going to teach a class. He was going to find one guy. Yeah. By the way, very important guy, but he was going after one. So you say, Brother Block, I'm trying to influence this. And again, you'll be surprised. I like these two fellows down here because they're really well behaved, and I try to set by them because I'm hoping they rub off on me. But the truth is, there are some young people that you can take under your wing. There are some young men or women that come to church that you could take under your wing. There are some new converts that you could take under your wing, the single, or by the way, as a teacher, the many. And again, in that case, notice Acts 11, verse 23. Acts 11, 23 says, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them. By the way, that's plural, which means more than one. He exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. So Barnabas, he went to seek an individual. He also went to seek a bunch of folks. So again, you and I should use our influence as much as we can to reach people. If you can only reach one, then reach that one. By the way, if each of us in here got one person in the next year to Liberty Baptist Church, staying in the pew, being faithful, Liberty Baptist Church would double in its attendance. If the year after that, we got just one, to become faithful. Now, I don't know if you realize that. Multiplication adds up really, really fast. When you're multiplying by two and then you multiply by three, I mean, it adds up fast. And the pews would get much fuller again. Reach one. Be nice to reach the multitude, but reach one at least. The third thing is this. Be prepared for persecutions for encouraging others to cleave to the Lord. In Acts chapter 11, verse 26, you know what happened? When he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Notice verse 50 of Acts chapter 13, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable men and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against the same folks that we were just talking about, Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast, kicked them out of town, ran them out of town. Now, most of us have never been run out of town. We have had a door slammed in our face. We have been run out of an apartment complex. Now, I always tell folks, if they run you out of the apartment complex, go to the next apartment complex. There's plenty of them around San Antonio. If you're kicked off of one street corner, go to another street corner. There's plenty of street corners in San Antonio. Don't say, whoop, that's it. Can't live for the Lord. I mean, you just have to go someplace else. Don't take it. You say, why do they do that? Because they don't like the gospel. Right. They don't like to know that one of these, they don't want to have to admit that one of these days I'm going to stand before God and heaven and hell is going to be in the balance there. They don't want to think about that. Again, be prepared for persecution. Notice Acts chapter, we looked at verse 50, notice verse 51. But they shook off the dust of their feet. That's what they told them to do back then against them. Now, I've never shook the dust off my feet. Usually my feet aren't that dusty, but back then they was wearing sandals and most of the streets and stuff were all dirt. If you've ever been out where you're out in the dirt, when you take off your shoes and socks, guess what? Your feet are dusty. Your shoes are dusty. So in this case, they shook off the feet. Notice it says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Didn't let them bother. They just went right on living for the Lord. Don't let folks stop you from living for the Lord. There'll always be a naysayer. There'll always be somebody that will try to talk, discourage you. Sometimes it's even an older church member, because they don't want to see you so energetic. So they say, why don't you calm down a little bit? Why don't you just take it easy? Don't do that. That's not what Jesus told you and I to do. We're not supposed to calm down a little bit and take it easy. Notice then the next thing, and I must hurry on, be teamed up with the local church. Notice Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. Now there were in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was Niger, and Lucius of Syrian and Manan, which had brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands upon them and sent them away. They worked within the church. Now, I don't have a problem with you having home Bible studies. You better never have a home Bible study on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. Now, if you want to have a home Bible study some other night, by the way, if you're going to do that, make sure you realize the great responsibility you take upon yourself. You're teaching somebody some stuff. If you don't have your doctrine straight, you're going to teach some other folks false doctrine. When you stand before God someday, He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to hold me accountable for that. Right. But again, that's why the safest place to bring your converts is to church. Sit with them on the pew. Now again, there'll be times they ask you questions. Answer those questions. There'll be times they challenge you. Then respond to the challenge. But again, be faithful to the local church. And the last thing, and I'll be done. Y'all didn't think that I could do it when I looked up there. I only had 12 minutes to get the 5 points, but I'm going to make it. Point number 5, make an effort to seek. Notice in your notes, Jesus did. Luke 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was Jesus' purpose. Again, remember, He said He didn't come for those who were whole. He came for those who were in need of a physician. Okay? That's why if I knock on the door and someone is in some false religion and they're so steeped in it that I don't think I'm going to accomplish anything, guess what I do? I go to the next door. I don't waste my time. I don't spend 30 or 40 or 50 minutes arguing with somebody. I tell people this all the time. If you could really convince them in 30 minutes, that means if one of the Jehovah's Witnesses talked to you for 30 minutes, would you quit being a Baptist and become a Jehovah's Witness? Hopefully not. And so again, don't be so full of yourself. Sometimes we get full of ourselves. We think, but I got this. I can do this. I'm going to pull them out of those false religions. That's my gift. Listen to me. There are a lot of sinners out there that need to get saved. Yeah. That Mormon or now, usually with the Mormons, one of those two is the teacher. One of them is the learner. So sometimes you can give them a little bit of something, maybe get the learner to think a little bit. But don't waste your time on all that stuff. You ought to be out there knocking on doors trying to find someone who's, by the way, who's in need of salvation. Those who are sick. Barnabas did. Acts chapter 11, verse 25 and 26 says, then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul, and then when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So Barnabas did that. He sought again. He made an effort to seek, and we're encouraged. And the last verse simply says this, Luke 14, 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. The reason for that? That my house may be filled. You know what Jesus would like? Jesus would like a full house. And we're not talking about cards. I don't even know what a full house is in cards. Only cards I ever played years ago, we used to play Rook, and then sometimes we played Gin Rummy, and I don't remember how to play Gin Rummy anymore, because when our church told us we ought to quit using face cards, I don't own a deck of face cards. Haven't for 30 or 40 or 50 years. Now, Brother Vineyard went into great detail one time. The king meant this, and the queen meant this. And I don't know if all that's true or not. Brother Nichols probably remembers that. And the joker was the guy that was, he was kind of going around trying to get the queen or something. I don't know. Brother Vineyard had it all laid out. I don't know if all that's true or not. But the truth is, I do know this. When we're talking about a full house, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this. Amen. Remember what that song says? What's he say? He says, my house is what? Empty. The fields are full, but my house is empty. And then that song says, go out. And again, that's why you and I are supposed to go out and bring them in. We bring them in to fill up the house. Now, I can tell you this, a full house is exciting. a full house has a different mood and temperament. I mean, some of you have had relatives, and when your relatives are all in the house, it's a noisy place. It's a fun place. It's an exciting place. And by the way, a house of God that's full of people, lost and saved, it's an exciting place. It's a fun place. It's a good place. Now, I don't know about you. Looking around, there are some empty pews. So we have plenty. If you're worried, you know, I just don't know if there'll be room for everybody if I go out and get really busy. There's plenty of room. By the way, if we have to, we can build a bigger building. Because if we fill this house up, that's what churches do. Then they have an expansion. Some of you remember this years ago, that area up there where we put those, that was going to be what? That was going to be the balcony. I like sitting in the balcony. Because in the balcony, the preacher can't see you near as well. When you're down here, the preacher can see you. You fall asleep, it's like, wake up. I mean, he can see you. You fall asleep up there, I mean, it's hard to see you because you're farther away, and it's hard to tell if your eyes are open or not. But the truth is, we've got plenty of room. So if you're worried, you say, Brother Block, I can't pick them all up. Then you call the bus director and say, you know what? I've got a bunch of folks that want to come to church. I can't get them all in the car. Can you help me? And he would go, uh-huh, think I can. Yep. The bottom line is you and I are supposed to seek those which are lost. There's a lot of them out there, so you don't have to look very far. You'll find some lost people. If you seek for a little while, you'll find some lost folks. And then you and I want to give them, we want to tell them about Jesus. Now, we can't make them get saved, but we can show them, we can point them to Jesus and show them how to get saved. And then the Holy Spirit works on their heart, and they get saved, and then they get to church, get baptized. And then, by the way, they're babes in Christ. We go back to that part of the Great Commission where we're supposed to teach them to observe all things. So again, it's important for us. Now, anytime you go soul winning, you want to get them saved, but you don't want to stop there. That was just step one. There was three steps. You got them saved. Then you want to go follow them up, get them into church, get them baptized. Now, I don't know about you. Kurt, we turn that baptism on every week, don't we? I turn it on today because I never know if there's going to be one baptized on Wednesday night. But I can tell you those waters have not been stirred in a while. So it'd be good if we got some folks saved, and then we got them into church and got them baptized, and then, by the way, we teach them to observe all things. You'll be surprised at this. You know why the young man, the long-haired boy, came a few weeks ago? Because that young man right there invited his two friends to come to church. Amen. And the one got saved. Now, the other one, we're still working on the other one, has not gotten saved. But the one young man got saved, and he came back a time or two. But again, that was because he invited him. Amen. Now, by the way, if he can get them, he has not had near as much training or experience as most of us. He hasn't. He hasn't sat at the Liberty Baptist Church. How long have you been saved? A little over a year, right? About a year. Most of us have been saved longer than that. He's already had a convert. He's already had someone to come to church. He invited him. Now, he brought them to the right place. They heard the word of God, and they got saved. By the way, the word of God convicts the lost, which is why you need to get them under the word of God, where they can hear the word of God so they can get convicted and then get saved. And then get him into church. And that's why we're still working on that young man. We're still trying to get him in the water and get him into church and get him faithful. But again, who knows? You might be talking to D.L. Moody. Who knows? You might be talking to Paul the Apostle.
That's right.
So the question is, are you teaching people by example to cleave to the Lord? That's what we're all supposed to do. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to realize our awesome privilege and responsibility, not only to go out and win people to the Lord,